on your part.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm your host, JT Ayers. And this can't be your first time listening to this. And if it is, I'm going to say something that I say every single time. It's On Track and Field. They're the whole reason we're here. And they have what you need to give your opportunity, your athletes the best opportunity to succeed. And I know this because I'm a head coach and I partner with them and they partner with me. I just bought a custom-made pole vault landing system. I also bought brand new 30 brand new hurdles. Ugh, it's just so cool when you see the kids' faces. And on top of that, my wife is a distance runner and she goes on track and field and gets great shoes for her marathons. You can do the same thing. Go to ontrackandfield.com. You will not regret it. With me today is Abden Campbell. He goes by AB, and I'm so glad he's here. I actually asked Brian Kula, a dear friend of mine, and I said, hey, who's the best coach nobody's paying attention to? I want him on the podcast, and this is him. So I'm so glad he's with me. Coach, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, JT. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, this is great. So let's just start off right at the bat. You're Jamaican, and you grew up in Jamaica. You ran fast in Jamaica. Why is Jamaica so fast?
Yeah, I feel like I get that question a lot. And a huge thing for me, I think, is it's just the culture. I think in Jamaica, we grew up racing like all the time. Kind of how it is here in America or in Texas, like people are always playing football since, 5, 6 years old. In Jamaica, we're racing. We have full on, you want to call it track meets at school in like kindergarten. And we're doing that all the way up to high school. It's just the culture of racing, to be honest.
Oh, that's so fun to hear. So your kindergarten teachers is walking these little people out and they're just racing them. It's just what they do. Johan Blake and Usain and all these people. I mean, how famous are they in regards to, are they what Patrick Mahomes is here? Like, what does that look like?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Johan Blake, Usain Bolt, they were dominating during high school days. So everybody knew them. Everybody was watching them. And yeah, they're basically the Patrick Mahomes of Jamaica.
Oh, that's so. I had Johan Blake. And in fact, Johan and his little team came out here right before the Tokyo Olympics. And we hosted them at my track for this ESPN kind of quick COVID weird track meet. And it was on TV and it was great. Everybody, but they stayed. And I have to tell you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Johan knew what he was doing. Doesn't seem like everybody else knew what they were doing. And it just seemed like they were just running fast for the heck of it. And I mean, is there still great coaching there? Is there bad coaching there? I mean, what does it look like from high school and beyond in Jamaica? Do a lot of the Jamaicans like yourself then come to the United States? Because I know you went from Jamaica to straight to Texas, right?
Yeah, so I went from Jamaica straight to Texas. I got a scholarship to run at University of North Texas. High school track and field in Jamaica is pretty big. We have, I would say, arguably one of the largest high school championships in the world. It's that little dot of an island having 20,000 spectators for the high school championships. It's a long meet Tuesday through Saturday. And we have prelims, semis, and finals for every single event. So
who's the powerhouse? Did you go to the powerhouse? Who's the best?
I did not. High school? I did not go to the powerhouse. The powerhouse, I would say, I'm going to hate saying this, but the powerhouse, I would say, is Kingston College, KC. The purple and white school, and it was my rival school all the time.
I love it, man. And so... I'm fascinated by this. Do you grow up in a particular like logistical area where that high school pulls from, or are people able to choose what high school they go to? Why, what is this rivalry one-sided all the time because they cheat? I mean, you can say it's a safe spot.
No, they had really good coaching. They have good athletes, good resources. The alumni was like donating a lot of stuff. So they had really good resources. The coaches and the staff would also recruit people to come, compete for their team in high school. So it was really, really big. I'd say all around, most of Jamaican high schools had really good athletes, really good coaching. I think the major difference was, just some fine-tuned stuff coaching-wise and resources.
fascinating because your national sport is still cricket, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's
Oh,
right.
man, that is the most backwards, hilarious thing ever. Okay, so moving on. I mean, one thing that Brian Kula told me that I need to talk to you about is the way that you program speed. He says, I never seen anybody do a better job. And you're in Dallas, correct?
Yes, that's right. I am in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay. And so have you been there ever since Jamaica? I mean, you went to North Texas and then you just stayed and then you went to Dallas. Is that how your
Yeah,
story?
so I went to North Texas. Didn't imagine myself staying in Dallas so long, but I grew to love the city. I got phenomenal opportunities here. So after graduating from University of North Texas with my bachelor's, I was a sports scientist at Michael Johnson Performance for some time. And then I moved on to D1 Training Allen for some time as a head speed coach there. Met Brian Kula, and I mean, our philosophies in terms of training and speed being priority just matched. Like, we clicked immediately in terms of programming and training and how speed should be prioritized. We agreed wholeheartedly. So then came up Speedtown Express, which is kind of the branch off from Kula Sports Performance. And I've been there ever since as a regional manager here.
Man, good for you. So Kula and I also see eye to eye in almost everything. And we're on a phone call almost weekly talking and debating about what we should do with our demographic of athlete. So now I'm going to pepper you with questions. What's your philosophy with resistance training? Like how much are you pulling with a sled? How much are you not? Like what does that look like for you?
For me, it kind of depends on the athlete and definitely their age. For younger athletes, I've found that too much horizontal resistance isn't ideal for them. I'd more go vertical resistance, but there are some numbers there. You want to look lighter on top speed days. You want to go heavier on acceleration days. For me, I have that base or that guideline. Some people would say like 10, 20% for top speed, 40, 50% for acceleration. That's a good base, but then I go off kind of like a subjective feel to how the athletes are looking, to where I don't want their form to be compromised. So if we're doing anything, resistance, whether it be horizontal or vertical, it shouldn't compromise their form, basically.
Okay, so everything you do, you're just watching, and if the form is compromised, you shut it down and you reassess.
Yes. So if it's too heavy and their form is starting to break, then I'm gonna go down a little bit, get them to where they can execute perfectly without compromising their form. If they're going too fast than what I want, then I know they can add on a little bit more weight there.
What are your thoughts on contrast training? Like, I'm going to put a load on the athlete for a sled resistance, and then I'm going to take that load off and have them run without it. Have you experimented with that at all?
Yeah, I've done a lot of work with that contrast training. I've gone like 2-to-1 contrast training, so two heavy sprints, one free sprint. I've done that a lot with football guys. I'd go like 60, 70% sled push, drop it 50%, and then free afterwards, give them like a 30, 40 second break. That's more specific towards their in-game training. If we're going just straight speed development, then of course I'd give them a longer break, still kind of contrasting that way.
Well, you mentioned age earlier, and I know it's something that you and I both agree with is training age, because you can't give an 8-year-old the same as an 18-year-old. What about weight room? If a kid wants to get fast and they're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, is there anything in the weight room they could do? Or, and I'm setting you up, here's an alley-oop, is it going to stunt their growth?
The stunting of growth is kind of, I got that a lot when I was growing up. All coaches would say, oh, we're not putting you in the weight room because it's going to stunt your growth. But it's kind of an older philosophy, and research has shown that, with good coaching, good technique, proper foundations, that's actually not true. So definitely there is some adaptations that can happen in the weight room that will help athletes get faster and stronger, and all the things that come with developing overall speed.
So who needs speed? I mean, you don't just get track football kids, right?
No, I have a wide range of athletes. I think every single athlete needs speed, to be honest. Whether it be golf, swimmers, tennis players, table tennis, soccer athletes. I've had all athletes come in for speed training because there is some adaptation that happens neuromuscularly, where even if you aren't necessarily running or sprinting in your sport, your muscles are able to prime and go at a faster pace. You're able to put out more power. Your mind is actually able, let's say in a soccer game, if you're used to going faster than what the game pace is, let's say you're used to going 20 miles per hour, when the game is moving slower, you're able to analyze more things that's happening in the game. So even on a mental side, the speed still helps.
And you and I were talking previously, and you even mentioned that every athlete needs to apply force to the ground. And you have to teach them how to do that. Doesn't matter if they're a pitcher or if they're a cricket. I don't even know what positions they have. Player. Or maybe cricket's the one exception. I don't know. But they have to know how to apply force to the ground. So, I mean, are you literally deadlifting with a hex bar, deadlift bar, a golfer?
Yes. So almost all my athletes do deadlift. Deadlift for me and the research I've seen is the best lift to help increase speed. Also, in terms of time and efficiency wise, it's an ideal lift. You know, you're getting all major muscle groups, definitely a lot on the posterior chain, and that's going to help you be able to transfer force into the ground.
Wow, it's amazing. And yeah, I completely agree. In fact, people listening to this podcast are going to start thinking I'm only finding people that agree with me. I swear I'm not. These are people that I'm finding. And I didn't know you were going to say that. So it's really affirming. And so I appreciate you saying that. What advice do you have for the rest of the country that's trying to do a good job with teaching people speed?
Don't be afraid to do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. In terms of, I feel like there are a lot of people who are trying to come up with the most innovative techniques, the most fancy social media thing out there right now. Whereas speed development, in my opinion, is raw. Like most of the top speed coaches you will hear, if you want to get faster, you got to run fast. That's what they'll say. So have your athletes running fast. Have your athletes run at top speed 2 to 3 times a week, even if it's only one time a week. You know, running fast will help you develop speed. Just focus on that, and your athletes will always come out running faster.
One thing that Brian Kula and I have been debating about is ankle stiffness and foot mobility, just strengthening up the foot. What do you do that helps athletes with that aspect of their training? Where do you fit it in?
Yeah. Kind of depends. Again, I feel like I've said that earlier. It depends on the workout and the athlete. For majority of my sessions, I have it at the start of the workout. And we call it a spring ankle isometric. So I'll have them go at different angles on the balls of their feet, holding it for about 15, 20 seconds, sometimes 30 seconds, and just overall developing the strength in their feet, their ankles, you know, so they're able to push into the ground without any loss of force happening.
You said at the beginning of a workout. Did I miss that?
Yes, I said at the beginning of the workout.
Okay, well, if you can't hear my pencil, I'm on paper right now taking notes. How many isometrics do you do? Do you do lunge holds? Do you ankle holds? Do you foot mobility? I mean, I see online these guys holding isos for like 3 minutes, which is insane to me. Does that even help?
I have never gone an iso hold for about 30 minutes or 3 minutes, sorry. I think to an extent that's causing fatigue. And if you're just working on strength, I don't see that being very beneficial. The longest ISO I have done to work on, you know, strength and tendon and ligament strength is about 30 seconds. You know, everybody has a generic plank hold for a minute, 2 minutes. But in terms of developing strength in the foot and ankle complex, I'll typically go about 30 seconds. I'll have them go, if we're doing it at the start, I'll have them go holding it where their heel is slightly over the ground, but their toes are elevated. So kind of in that slight stretch position. Next one, I'll have them go knees slightly over the toe, pushing forward. And I'll have them go all the way up, kind of in a calf raise, still holding that from about 15 to 30 seconds. If it's in the strength and the weight room area, I'll have them go some lunge holds. They can go lunge hold on the balls of their feet, both feet. Can also have them go lunge resisted hold, or pushing up under the squat rack or the safety rack, kind of get some resistance there also.
Now, if I'm doing some good ISOs, can I do things the next day, or is that taxing the central nervous system?
It's not as taxing as top speed sprinting, I'll say that. So you definitely, you can get some good work in afterwards the next day.
Okay, good. Because that's always a concern, right? What you can do the next day. All right, what's that one activity, that one drill that you just said, all right, no matter what, Speedtown Express and Coach AB is always going to be doing this no matter what? Like, what is that thing?
My main speed drill, I'll say, is a single leg high knee, or a single leg fire, as we call it, to where, you know, it's, as it sounds, a single leg high knee, kind of starting a straight knee jog, and then you're bringing one leg up and driving it back down into the ground. I think that exercise teaches a lot on how to push through the ground. It teaches a lot on mechanics and coordination of the body, which you need for sprinting, whether it be top speed or acceleration, or even changing direction. So I'll have them go single leg, high knee. I'll have them go forward, backwards, sideways, both sides, and go on both feet.
Okay. Well, writing that one down for sure. Coach, I know I promised you I wouldn't take too much of your time, and we're definitely going to have you on sometime again. This has been fantastic. Thank you for joining me. Where else can we find out more about you and what you're doing with Speedtown Express?
Yeah, so I post a lot on my social media platforms. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at _ it's just AB. So that's ITSJUSTAB.
For both of them?
For both of them, yes. For Instagram and TikTok.
All right. Well, hey, what's it like working for Kula?
It's amazing, man.
Oh, best. You're lying.
No, I'm so serious. Best company I've worked for. I love it being speed-based. I love the relationship. I love the culture. I have nothing bad to say. It's overall the best experience I've had.
Well, yeah, you're safe here. Brian is is literally one of the greatest in the business, and one of my best friends. Yeah, I appreciate him so much. I'm so glad we got to talk to you. Speaking of best friends, stick around. Listen to Steve, the CEO of On Track and Field, as well as RelayBatons.com. They both power this podcast. And do us a favor. Just rate us on Spotify or Apple or whatever you listen to, and leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. We want to further the sport. We want you to listen to this podcast. We want to have it digestible enough. So 18 to 20 minutes, hopefully. I typically go a little longer, because it's hard to stop talking about these things. But we want you to learn something from this. We want it to be engaging and meaningful. So thank you for listening. And Steve, without further ado, take us away.
Thanks for listening to this week's On Track and Field podcast with guest Coach Ab Don Campbell. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved meat and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards and coaches gifts. And by OnTrackAndField.com. The source for all things track and field and cross country related. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need, including our new pole vault and high jump landing systems designed by jumpers for jumpers. Check them out online or give us a call for a free quote. And make sure to check out our new website, ontrackrunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. ontrackrunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at ontrack, the letter N, field, at ontrackandfield on Twitter and Instagram.